At this point, there will be a musical piece that Jamie will be improvising in honor of Jay.
So, I've certainly taken a few less traveled roads in my life, and my experience in this religion 10 years ago led me on a journey, as I told the children, from being an accountant to becoming a parish minister in the UUA. What started 10 years ago as a far-off dream is now becoming a reality. Now, if when I started, I knew everything that I would have to do to get to this point in time, I don't know if I would have started, to be honest with you. But through the process, I have developed a well of resiliency that has helped me reach this point. And resiliency is something that we need in this time. Between terrorism, three wars overseas, and economic meltdown, it is easy to become pessimistic about life. How do we, as Unitarian Universalists, find hope for our future journeys? And is having hope even a helpful concept? Thich Nhat Hanh, the famous Vietnamese Buddhist monk, says, and I am quoting, "Western civilizations place so much emphasis on the idea of hope that we sacrifice the present moment. I do not mean that you should not have hope, but that having hope is not enough." End quote. Well, the journey of life is a string of events, a string of moments that are all joined together, and we should become aware and be present in all of those moments so that we can create the life and the world that we dream about. But my journey, like every journey, started long before I started my own journey. Stephen Batchelor, in his book Buddhism Without Belief, states that we are who we are because of the unprecedented and unrepeatable matrix of conditions that have formed us. Well, certainly part of the matrix of conditions that have formed me was my family's journey to this country. When I was a little boy, every Sunday morning we would gather at my grandparents' apartment in the Bronx, and we would have a breakfast of bagels, cream cheese, lox, white fish, and pickled herring. It's no wonder I have high cholesterol now. But each week, my grandfather would tell us stories about their journey from Lithuania to America. And it would start this way. After one too many unprovoked attacks by the police due to my family's Jewish religion, they decided to move to America. They had enough money for one ticket on a boat from England to America. So the plan was for my great-grandfather to, go to America, earn enough money to send for the rest of the family to come over. A fairly typical Eastern European immigrant story from the early 1900s. So my great-grandfather left Lithuania for England. Somewhere along the way, he got lost. Now, there are, of course, a lot of jokes about him not asking directions, but that's another story. When he finally arrives in England, it turns out he had missed the boat that he had a ticket to. Now, the next part of the story gets a little hazy as, oral tradition happens. There are a number of different versions, but undeterred, he gets on another boat somehow to America. But as it turns out, the first boat, the one that he had a ticket on that he missed, sank at sea, and there were no survivors. Now, back then, of course, they didn't have cell phones or email, and regular mail was really unpredictable. So for 2 months, the family in Lithuania thought he had drowned at sea. So when he finally makes it to America and he cables them and lets them know that he's gotten there successfully, they had literally thought he had risen from the dead. I can't tell you the theological issues this has raised in a Jewish family, okay? But my grandfather used to tell this story over and over again, and its message was always a hopeful message. And he would say, "Jay, even if you are lost, even if you are so lost that you've totally missed the boat, things can still turn out okay. In fact, they can turn out even better than if you had found your way immediately." And then he would end the story, as he ended almost all his stories to me. He would say, "Just don't give up." Well, many Unitarian Universalists have journeyed far to get here today. We have journeyed, as we saw earlier, from other states. We've journeyed from other religions, or even from no religion. Even born Unitarian Universalists have journeyed on their path of religious and spiritual growth, which speaks to our third principle, which includes the encouragement of spiritual growth in our congregations. But like any journey, we don't really know where it is going to lead us. And it is that ambiguity of the result that we cannot let it paralyze us from doing anything, like sort of coming to that fork in the road and just stopping or turning back. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I am sorry I could not travel both. The road not taken. Well, I chose this poem for the reading today because, well, I had to memorize it in junior high school, to be honest with you. But seriously, for years, it just always kept coming up and popping up in my brain. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Now, last line is really an interesting one. It is not placing a value judgment on the difference. It's just recognizing the difference. We as the reader often place the value judgment on that difference. And I think that's because it's the realization that the choices we make in life do matter and do make a difference. And as we reflect on our lives, we can see how certain choices we have made have led us to where and whom we are today. And upon reflection of that, we know that we can make decisions and choices today that will lead us to be and who we want to be in the future. And so I think just this knowledge that we are capable of doing this gives us and helps us create hope in our life. Well, approximately 10 years ago, as I was reflecting back on my life, I had a choice. We always have a choice, as I like to say. I could play out the rest of my days hiding quietly in the shadows, wondering what could have been, or I could engage life with hope and wonder and see where it would lead me. In our lives, these divergent paths come upon us. In fact, they are always there. We just have to be aware of them. And as I did become more aware, I placed a different, higher value on the less traveled road. And by doing so, I found the one thing I had been looking for my entire life. I liken this to Henry David Thoreau's Walden when he writes, "If a person does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because they hear a different drummer. Let them step to the music which they hear, no matter however measured or far away." But hearing music and stepping to music are two different things. Both require intention. Listening in and of itself is a good thing. It talks to the discernment that we take in making our decisions and our journeys. But it is also important to realize that although all of us may be heading in the same direction, we may be on different parts of the path. And so we need to really respect and honor each other and where each other is on that path. But Thoreau specifically points out that to listen to one's own music, to hear your call from the universe, to realize your heart's desires, you actually have to step to the music. You actually have to take actions to make them a reality. And that often requires us to walk down that less traveled road. That can be a scary thing to walk on the less traveled road. But just because it is less traveled does not mean you have to walk it alone. We come together here in religious community to walk that path together, to share together, to learn together, to comfort and guide each other, to inspire each other, to just be with each other on our religious journey. Now, this journey can be both inward and outward. In fact, I believe it should be both an inward and outward journey. I think the inward journey leads to the outward journey. And then the outward journey, we need to come back in to recharge and to sustain ourselves and to keep us going. And that inward journey can happen in a multiple ways. I know this congregation offers many, many opportunities for spiritual practices and reflections, and such spiritual practices can be done alone or with others. And the goal of such practice, I just want to be clear, in my mind, is to help us be intentional in our lives, to gain clarity, to see ourselves as part of something larger than just ourselves. To slow down the world as it rushes past us, and to slow down ourselves as we rush past the world. And that is why it is so important to create a trusting, non-judgmental, open environment where we can explore those questions that gnaw at us. When the events of the world create cognitive dissonance with what we have been taught all our life. In recognizing this, we need a place where we can go to explore what our truth is. And then when we realize our truth, we are faced with yet another choice. How do we make our truth a part of our lives that we live? How do we engage with others authentically? I call this relational theology. And so I'd like to give you a personal example of how that worked for me. One of the most powerful forms of education I have encountered was when, as part of my seminary experience, I went down and visited with the Immokalee farm workers, who are tomato pickers in South Florida. I know many of you may know them. I know they came up here a little over a year ago, with part of worship and religious education. But when I visited with them, I got to sit with the farm workers and their families. I heard their stories, saw where they lived, saw the conditions they had to work under. Then, being the diligent person that I am, I came back and investigated, and I did find out indeed that there had been in the state of Florida over the past 10 years, 9 convictions for enslaving immigrant farm workers. Where in one instance they actually locked them in the back of a moving van. And every morning they would unlock the van to let them come out and pick the farm, the tomatoes again. And then at night, lock them back up. I never really thought before that about how my tomatoes got onto my salad or into my taco. But once confronted with the truth, I could not turn away. And so I went back and I asked them how I could help them, how I could support them. And after sitting with these farm workers and their families, it made me realize exactly what survival and justice is. These people took real risks. They risked their jobs, their very existence, to stand up for what they believed. And at what point do we stand up for a greater cause versus rationalizing one more compromise of our principles? These are not easy questions. There are no absolute answers. And what answers we get are often quite ambiguous. But engagement with others, whether it be farm workers or each other here, I truly believe humanizes and connects people. And I think it is in these connections, in building such relationships, that growth and change can happen. It changed me, and it continues to change how I live in this world. It changed my shopping habits in this case and my eating habits. And it changed my relationship with my grocery store manager, who I now know on a first-name basis, as we have engaged in many dialogues about how we could get the corporate management to increase the price they pay for tomatoes. Now, 10 years ago, such a thought, let alone having such a conversation, would have been a major leap for me. And unless we have some personal connection with injustice that makes that leap compelling, we are more likely to maintain the status quo. So that is why it is critical that we need to make our congregations a safe, supporting, beloved community for a diversity of people and experiences, where everyone's wisdom, presence, awareness, responsibility, and consciousness are truly valued, accepted, and shared as we walk together on that journey of life. So despite all the ambiguities of life, I encourage you to maintain hope for a better future, for yourself and for the world of today and the world of our descendants. Maintain hope and find meaning in each and every action. And when things get hard, as they inevitably do, when the path you have chosen has not worked out exactly as planned, remember the words of my grandfather. Even if you are lost, even if you are so lost that you have totally missed the boat, things can still turn out okay. In fact, they can turn out even better than if you had found your way immediately. Just don't give up. It is never too late to learn. It is never too late to change. It is never too late to grow. Act consciously, and by doing so, you will live into your hope. May it be so.